This is Nate Hudson with Ozark Radio News. Today, I am speaking with Scott Tuma, who is running for the West Plains School Board of Education. The election's coming up on April 4th. So, hello, Scott. Good to meet
you. Hello. Nice to meet you, too.
Starting off, I'm asking everyone the same run of questions. For you, why are you running for the school board, and what are your qualifications?
Okay. Basically, it's more so of, it's the same reason why I coach baseball. It's if your kid's being coached or taught or anything, and you think it's going good, then and someone's doing the right things, and they're looking out for the best interests of the children, then you just let it go. But where if you see something that needs to change or that you don't like what you see, it's up to you to step up. And if I don't step up, and so if somebody else isn't willing to step up, then it's up to me to step up as a person, as a citizen, as a parent of West Plains. So that's why I'm running. Qualifications wise, open-minded, knowledgeable on a grand array of things, and I don't. The best thing I think about myself is that I don't claim to know everything. I just try to know more, and that's my qualifications, I guess. I just want to help.
Well, that is a good place to come from. So, have you participated in any of the past school board meetings?
I've been to two meetings. I haven't been to a lot of meetings. I've been to two meetings. I was at the one that propelled me was basically when we were up against the masks, and that was the big one. And since then, things have gone a little bit more smoothly, but that was when it was kind of like maybe something needs to change. And there was other things that I saw in there too when I was there in the meetings that I went to. The other one was about the amount of money that they spent on air conditioning as opposed to other things that we need in our school system. Air conditioning is important, but if it's not broke yet, why are we fixing it before it's broke and spending $6 million on something that hasn't happened yet? Then there's a lot more stuff that we could be spending money on. So I probably should have been at more meetings. I coach basketball. I'm going to tell you my excuses, but I spend a lot of time coaching, and I spend a lot of time watching my children play sports. So that is the one thing that, if elected, is going to be hard for me to miss my own children's activities for this. But in the same time, I feel like I'd be helping my children and future children by missing my children's sports. Hopefully I won't have to miss too many. So,
well, by the sound of it, you are a parent. Are your children currently in the school district?
Yeah, I have a son in high school. He's a sophomore. And I have a daughter in the middle school who is in fifth grade.
All right. Yeah.
And I have one that graduated that's gone through the high school. When we moved here, she was a freshman, so she went through high school here, but she didn't go through. But I've had basically children in all three schools at any given time.
So what do you believe are the top needs for the school district right now?
I mean, I think one of the big things I feel that we're lacking in is extracurriculars. As far as we do good in music, I feel like our music department, like our band and our choir, does good. They get to do traveling and everything. They could possibly have better equipment. But I feel like our sports and our ag department's pretty good, but I'd like it to have more. I would like them to have more of a development at the elementary school as far as ag, as far as teaching kids how to plant crops, even flowers, just simple things like that at a younger age, more art. Film study is one of the things that I've heard from a lot of people, and I don't just mean like film study, like you're studying movies. I mean, today's age, and you would see the same thing in radio, it's communications. So as far as like in a lot of schools in Springfield, they have a communications department with their kids where they're learning how to broadcast, they're learning how to edit film, they're live time editing and have a production of film. you know, which is something that could help not just in our community, but help them branch out to other communities and grow, because, I mean, everything's on TV nowadays as far as TikTok, YouTube, all that other stuff. So, I mean, they need to be able to live in that world and work in that world. But I think a lot of that stuff, getting them more tuned into reading would be good. I think a lot of students don't, it's like an elephant, the elephant and the mouse theory, where it's like, if you judge a kid by what, you know, like a lot of them like those, like certain books, and a lot of them don't, but when they're all made to read the same books, you know, where there's not a lot of leeway, you know, with your school book. I mean, I know that they're given options, but the Chromebooks are very straight-lined and straightforward to where what they're doing. So I also think they need to be more hands-on and less laptop learning. I think that would be good too. But there's so much, and there's a lot of stuff I don't know. I probably don't know 99% of the things that do go on. So, like, I just want to help learn, make it better, and see what happens, I guess, hopefully.
So how do you plan on addressing the different needs of all the students that are currently enrolled?
I think a good way would be a Facebook page or a social media account that where people could give you ideas and suggestions. I would like to have the school board be a little more open to the students. I don't know in the past if they ever talk, if there's any kind of lines of communications between the students and the school board. I really don't. I've never seen a student at a school board meeting, really, except for if their parents dragged them with and they just sat there. So maybe there could be something with, and this might already happen, but with the student council and with different student groups, like maybe have a couple student groups open up and then they each have a representative that addresses the school board. I think that would be a good way to basically get in tuned. But I definitely think communication would be something that I'm going to push for, to have more lines of communication as much as possible, and to be able to just be open, and just, even if it's something that we can't do, just know what people want and what people are interested in, and what, you know, and what we can do for the future. And, you know, we might not be able to give them everything they want, but there's compromise, and there's always a way to make things better. There's always something you can do.
So, moving on, have you served on any other boards that make the decisions on budgets or policy?
Nope, never. Nope.
And, you know, we talked a little bit about budget when, you know, what you had thought about with the school. So, what would your budget priorities be? Like, what would your top three budget priorities be for the school district?
Well, I think teachers should make a little more money on average. I think that we should probably be more competitive with our district as far as with coaching. I mean, it's hard for our kids to go play against another team that has three coaches. They have and we have football coaches that have 3-4 coaches, but as far as their other sports, to maybe help out with that too. So I'd like to see, I guess what I'd like to see is the amount of effort put into our football team, put into the rest of our school, you know, even in general with music, art, everything. So that'll be a cost priority. So, like, I don't know where that money would come from. I do know that we've had grants that are for building, and there are other ways we can do things, but it might not be something that's feasible, you know, but it's something that I would want to address and help. I'd like to maybe look into what turfing the football field has saved them on maintaining a football field, as far as to do that for baseball. Another thing that I think would help with some of the programs and stuff that I would want to do is if we could possibly partner with the college in some ways, as far as teachers, like that they could be teaching things in the high school and in the college and using facilities both ways a little bit more to ease up some of the tension that we have price-wise with that. But that's something I'd probably need to learn a lot more about in order to help with that.
All right. Well, you did already kind of cover one of my other questions I was going to ask on, you know, educator salaries and benefits. Well, you know, staying with the money talk, can you explain where the money comes to fund the school?
I believe a lot of it's state level, but there is less federal money that we get too, grants. And I know that there's grants out there for future growth, and I know we've gotten grants and we've used them for certain things. I also think that we could potentially fundraise a lot more money than we do. I do see a lot of smaller schools that are fundraising big time compared to what we fundraise. But yeah, as far as the money that comes in, I think part of it is there's not always enough. And then another one is, what do you use it for? And a hard thing with us is that our school is old, whereas we're going up against schools that have new schools and have a lot bigger income radius. So we probably would have to either reach out federally or raise taxes, you know, or find a way to get more tax revenue. And I think one way I think would be beneficial to the city of West Plains would be a parks tax, which if the school could partner with the parks as far as some of the revenue going towards the school if they passed the parks tax. So like you build basketball facilities or baseball facilities or even just indoor training facilities that could be used for wrestling and other branches of the school. Another thing is I've talked to Michael Topliff, I hope I don't pronounce his name wrong, about the money for the revenue coming in from the marijuana tax, possibly some of that coming towards the school to help us catch up to Springfield. Because I know a lot of people are talking about, well, we need to go backwards as far as build a school for the rural schools, and then West Plains would be more so competing against the Avas, the Mountain Groves, and go smaller rather than grow. So there's a tear in the community as far as that goes, because right now our students aren't getting enough to compete in Springfield. Whereas if there was ways where we could make it better to compete with Springfield and Poplar Bluff and Rolla, and, you know, and we go against Columbia schools because of our size, that I think that would be a beautiful thing, as opposed to going backwards, building a school in the country and having our population size of our high school dwindle down to where we go backwards and as far as go back a class instead of going up a class.
Okay. So I do know that a large portion of money that comes to fund the school actually does come from local property tax, people that live in the school district. Now, moving on.
I hate to raise property taxes, but I mean, because I don't like paying more in property taxes, but we really don't pay a lot in property taxes compared to, like, I'm actually originally from Illinois, and they pay on average $8,000 to $12,000 a year,
which quite a bit more.
Crazy, yeah. I don't in any way want to do that, but.
So, moving on, what is your view of school choice?
And you're talking about basically, if you live in West Plains, you could go to a rural high school or go to Richards. So basically, not now. Is that the one thing I don't know about that is, does that cost extra to do that right now?
I believe as it is right now, if you were to do that, you would basically have to pay all of the money for that tuition out of pocket.
Okay. So
now with some of the school funding bills that they're talking about right now in the state, some of the stuff they've actually just begun debating this week is, you know, being able to pull your property tax, your tax money,
and send it anywhere you want.
Yeah, and send it wherever you would send your student. So, you know, it's something a lot of people are talking about.
I think it would make things difficult. It would become a recruiting. You know, it would make it to where, you know, high school coaches or, you know, or just schools in general would start recruiting in your area, you know, trying to get you to go this way or that way so they get more money. I guess it could be good and bad, depending on. It kind of goes back to, like, as a community, what do we want to do? Do we want to have two high schools, or do we want to grow the high school that we have? So I think people need to make up their minds, and I think part of it is we need to have a plan, because right now, with not going anywhere with West Plains, because some people might not want to come here and they want to grow another high school, is stunting the growth of the community in, as a whole. I mean, just, I think having a parks tax would even blow it up, you know, to where everybody says that doctors don't want to stay here because their wives, they don't want to raise their kids here because there's not a lot to do, you know, and it's like, we either need to get behind the community and blossom, or we're going to feather away, you know, we're going to waste away. So,
on this issue of school choice, how do you feel about public funding going towards private schools or religious schools?
So you're saying if, like, you live in the community and you want your child to go to the private school,
yeah,
and you're paying the taxes, so your tax money would be pulled and sent to the private school rather than to the public school. I mean, I think we've kind of drove them that way because we're not giving them in our public schools what they want. I think if we were more open with people, and, you know, then we wouldn't have them wanting to do that. It kind of stinks because it does pull away from the community, you know, as a whole, but at the same time, it stinks for them that their kids aren't going there. Now, what I would say is that as long as their child is going there, they could do that. And then once their child graduates, that the money should basically go back into the city, you know, because, which hurts the private schools, but at the same time, they're private. So, I think that if you took everyone and gave them that choice, that 50-50 choice to fund the public or the private, whether they have kids there or not, I think that would hurt the community, because then you're going to have all these kids going to public schools and the public schools funding will be gone. And then the private schools funding might jump if they're allowed to do that once their kids graduate, or like people move here from out of state and they decide they want to fund the private schools and not the public schools. I think that would hurt. I think that would be bad. You know, I think if your kids go there, I think that should be your right. But if your children don't go there and you live in the community, I think your money should go to help the community.
Okay.
So
now, getting into probably the rest of our more spicy questions, talking about critical race theory. First off, do you think that critical race theory is currently being taught within the West Plains School District? And can you define what CRT is?
I don't. Honestly, my kids have not said that it's being taught there, so I don't believe it's taught there. I am not 100% sure on what exactly that goes on with it. I would like to see, as a parent, I would like to see everything that they're proposing. I think all the parents should be able to see what they're proposing. And if it is something that is pushed through or installed, or however you want to put it, I think that things like that should be more so, what is the word? If you're in high school and it's not a main class, it's something that you can take on the side. I don't know
like
why I'm blanking.
Elective.
An elective. I don't know why I'm blanking, but it's the pressure of the question probably getting to me. But if it was something as an elective, because I know that there's people that have gone to college and majored in this. Is that not correct?
I believe it's maybe not majored in it,
but it's something that they're
taken as part of
their
class.
Teaching.
Yeah.
That way they can teach it in the – so – and it's something that maybe if it might be something that should be taught at a college level,
and
you know, rather than at a high school level. I mean, and if it's opinion or is it fact, you know, like that's the problem too, is like, do you know if it's, and there's a lot of things that are like that are their opinion. So like opinion classes, in my opinion, should be a high school thing, maybe an elective in a high school setting. If you're an art major, or if you're someone that's going into debate, or someone that wants to be a lawyer, that would be something to that you should know how this stuff works if you're wanting to be a lawyer or, you know, work in government. So it could be a good elective in a high school setting, because there is going to be a lot of debate and a lot of probably lawsuits and things like that that go into it. Now, as far as in the elementary or the middle school, I don't think it's a need. but I don't know, like I told you before, I don't know a lot about it.
Well, so, from what I currently understand about critical race theory, it is college level, like you said.
Yeah.
Typically even higher college level, you know, doctorate kind of level, where they talk about how racist laws, policies have been put in place from the time the country was founded that have continued to be pervasive throughout the nation's narrative, but might not necessarily be on a person-to-person level.
Right.
But, you know, again, it is college level.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with...
And a theory at that.
Yeah. The same thing could go to anything, like as far as trying to keep the... I mean, if you want to go religious, like back in the day when you couldn't read the Bible to today, where it's more so like... They use language in law that the lame person wouldn't even understand in the English language. And that's something, too, that that would be a great elective in high school, would be basically defining English, like learning what words mean, like information, like the word, you know, understanding, you know, I don't know, just different things that words that are used to basically control in a way too, like
something like nearly a legal jargon class.
Yes, exactly. Like Jordan Maxwell, if you've ever heard of him, he was amazing with the written word and dissecting it and knowing what it's used for, like just as far as maritime admiralty law and things like that, that I don't think a lot of people realize that our laws, a lot of our laws in court are laws of the sea, not laws of the land. And that's why we go into a, you know, you go into a, you go through the little wood banister when you go into a courtroom in a, you know, in certain courts, not all courts, but it's just, it's something that I don't even understand.
Well, moving on, there was something that has been talked about a lot in the current state legislature about a Parents' Bill of Rights that would further expand on what Missouri's Department of Elementary and Secondary Education currently have, and that, you know, also known as DESE. So what are your thoughts about a Parents' Bill of Rights? And
so are they're talking about parents, what they're allowed to know what their kids are doing, kind of thing?
Well, I understand about the current Bill of Rights bill that was recently passed was it allows for a lot more transparency from schools.
Yeah.
Schools will now have to put out yearly reports on, you know, certain types of curriculum, you know, what books the kids will be reading.
Kind of like this, or what's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Along with, you know, reading scores and other upfront test results from the school.
I mean, I think anything that helps parents know what's going on more is a good thing. I think that parents, even myself included, are not, with how much we work and, you know, it's all excuses, but how much you work and how much you put into your kids outside of school life as far as, you know, their extracurriculars and whatever they're into nowadays, which is, I think, important just for the kid's self-esteem. It takes away from the parents' energy levels to be involved in the school. So I think anything that's sent to us, like I love the emails that the teachers and the administrators send to us. So any knowledge that's given, I believe, is a good thing. It does create more red tape for the administrators. It does create more red tape for the teachers. It makes their jobs harder. Because I like teachers to be able to teach what they know as opposed to teaching out of a book that every teacher teaches the same thing. Like my favorite teachers as a kid were the ones that knew, like taught me what they knew, like basically shot from the hip and gave you information. And I mean, as a teacher, they're probably their best thing to do would be to say that they're not always 100% accurate, but no one is. You know, I mean, history especially is a story told by the victor. So a lot of it is, and that could gear back to critical race theory. I mean, you have to look at the victors of this country, the victors of this world, the people that control policy are not always the best people, especially this time, this day and age. So, like, one thing that I even heard on the radio today was them talking about make sure that you're giving your children something outside of school, knowledge outside of school, not just in school, because if they're just getting information from one source, it's not always a good thing. You always want to have more sources. And I think that that could be a class where, I mean, especially nowadays, I think a class that would be a great class would for kids would be something where they're looking for things outside the box, trying to find information that's hidden, you know, I mean, because there's just so much. There's just, you know.
So. All right.
I know, and I went off the box, but.
on to my last question. Last year, Missouri passed Senate Bill 775. This Senate bill had a big deal to do with banning books that had descriptions of sexual intercourse, descriptions of genitalia, other material as well. So what are your views on book banning? And I've presented you with a list of books that have been banned. And have you read any of those?
I'd have to go through the whole thing and see.
But... Yeah, there's some 300 books on the list, so it's quite a few.
I could get back to you on if I read them. Short through. And a lot of these look like... looks like a lot of graphic novels from nowadays, like comics-type books, and then a lot of, like Macbeth and whatnot. And I read some of that in college. I like that they are watching out for what they're reading. A lot of this, if a kid wants to read it, they can get it outside of school. It's not something that they, if it's a graphic novel, let's say, like you said, with talk about genitalia and all that kind of stuff. If it's something they're reading outside of school, I mean, you can't really stop them from doing that. That's up to their parents. So, like, the one thing that a lot of parents say, it's if a parent or a kid is looking for that, that's fine, but we don't need to be forcing it upon them. So let them be young for as long as they can, you know. I mean, when they get to college, a lot of that stuff's going to be forced upon them anyway, but they're paying for it to be forced upon them, depending on what college they choose to go to or what line. So, and there's plenty of things out there and books out there and internet websites out there that if they need to learn about sex and all that other stuff, that it's available to them. Now, that being said, if a kid has a question, I think questions are good to be answered, but I also think that the parents should be involved. If a kid is asking weird questions about sex and like orientation and stuff like that, and their parents, you know, if they say, you know, I went to my dad and asked him and he wanted to beat me because he found out I was a different, you know, that's something where you need to help, you know, but I don't think that it's something where we should be pressuring kids or, you know, or pushing them one way or another. It's just a matter of giving them someone to talk to if they need someone to talk to, I think is a good thing, you know, about books and stuff. But as far as the banning of these books, if it's sought by professionals that they're dangerous, then, I mean, there's plenty of books they could read. And if they want to read these books, they can go to a bookstore, they can go to Amazon Prime, and they can buy a book if they want to. You know, it's not, no one's stopping them. No one's stopping their parents from buying that book and having them read it. You know, I don't like the banning of books to the public, like what Hitler did. But yeah.
All right. Well, Scott, that is all the questions I have for you. Is there anything else you would like to add?
I'll say is Jody Pergeson. I vouch for Jody, and I know she vouches for me. So, I would just say if you want someone that's going to be a good person and cares about your kids, that she's a good candidate. And I care about the kids, and I'm not perfect, but I am willing to listen, and I want to help, and that's all I can do. That's all I can say, and that's all I can do. So,
all right. Well, thank you so much, Scott, for coming in and speaking with us. And good luck on the election on April 4th.
Appreciate it, and thank you for having me. And sorry I'm so long-winded. It's a disease.